Welcome to installment 216 of Sefer HaMitzvahs from the Rambam. In today's portion, we will continue our discussion of the laws of Tumah v'Tahara, impurity and purity, with positive commandment 104, governing the status of a Zav, a man that has had an abnormal discharge. The Rambam tells us that the laws of a Zav include two separate categories. One, the laws governing when a person becomes impure in this manner, and secondly, under what conditions this impurity is conveyed to others. What exactly is the impurity? What causes the impurity of a Zav? Zav literally means flowing, and as the verse states in the book of Leviticus, towards the end of Parshas Matzeira, Ish ish ki yezov mi b'sore, a man who has a flowing from his flesh. Where in his flesh is this flowing out from? Our sages tell us that a zav is compared with a zava, as we discussed in yesterday's mitzvah, that a zava is a woman also experiencing an unnatural flow. This a flow of blood from the uterus. Similar to the menstrual bleeding, however, at an unusual, unnatural time. Our sages tell us that just as the bleeding of a zava is from the reproductive organs, so too the flowing of a zav, in the case of a male, is from his reproductive organ. The flowing is an unnatural, unusual, pale liquid, which comes out of the body without any sensation whatsoever. Should this happen on one instance to a man, he does not become impure. However, should it happen a second time, then he is tameh. He himself is impure and conveys this impurity to others. There is an additional impurity should he see a third time such a flow. What is the difference between the impurity of having seen twice or having seen three times? Our sages tell us the difference is whether he is required to bring sacrifices upon the end of his purification period. He himself is equally impure whether he has seen twice or three times. However, he must bring a sacrifice only if he has seen three times, not if he has seen only twice. After he has already stopped having this emission from his body, the Zav, just like the Zava, the female counterpart, is required to have 7 clean days to ensure there is nothing emitting from his body for 7 consecutive days. Only after those 7 days is he allowed to immerse himself. And his immersion is even more strict than the immersion of a zava, of a female, as we discussed in yesterday's portion. The female zava is only required to immerse herself in a mikvah, in a kosher mikvah of rainwater. However, the zav, the male impure person, is required not only to go to a regular kosher mikvah, he must go to a mikvah of mayim chayim, literally living waters, meaning spring water, fresh water from the ground, not only rainwater. This is because his impurity is a more intense type of impurity in comparison with the female. Or, as some of the commentaries have explained, that there is a severity in the male discharge over the female discharge. That the female's discharge, at least, is something, it's a discharge which is natural. It is physically indistinguishable from her regular menstrual period. However, the emission in the part of a male is something completely unnatural. There is nothing like it physically under normal conditions. Therefore, the Zav is, in a way, more seriously out of line than the female Zava, and therefore he is required to undergo a more serious, more intense purifying process by immersing himself in only in pure spring water. Just as we have been discussing the last few days in the laws of Tumas Mishkav and Meshav, these laws of impurity are of a particular type relating to impurity conveyed not only by touching or indirect touching, but even by merely sitting down on an object, a zav or zava, as well as the other categories we have discussed, can just as well convey impurity. Therefore, should a zav sit down on a chair or a bed, and later on someone sit on that same chair or bed, the second person will also become impure. This is even if the zav has not directly touched the cushion. Let us say there are 100 cushions, one below the other. If the zav is sitting on the top of the 100, all the 99 ones underneath also become impure, since he has at least indirectly been sitting upon them. In the case of a zava, as we discussed yesterday, there are particular transgressions which are seen as a cause for this condition. Since it is an unnatural condition, a sickness, it is therefore seen as a God-sent punishment for some particular transgression. The Chinuch explains that what causes a person to become a zav. The Chinuch tells us that since our neshamas, our souls, have come into bodies, we are required to involve ourselves in many physical activities, eating and drinking and so on. However, we must do this in moderation, on the straight path, as the Chinuch tells us, everything in the proper amount and proper measure. However, when a person becomes overly involved in these physical activities, with too much eating and too much drinking, then this will bring him to an excess of fluids in the body. His excessive gluttony will eventually cause a coarsening not only in his spiritual condition, but in his physical condition as well. And this will be expressed by this discharge from the body. Should it happen only once, the Chinuch says that this does not render the person impure. And the explanation of this law is in consonance with this explanation we just gave, that a person cannot be expected every moment to conform to the straight and narrow path. People are not perfect. They do have an evil inclination. However, this evil inclination, although sometimes a person might be dissuaded and untracked from the proper mode of behavior, and therefore have an evidence of this flaw once, nevertheless, that does not make him impure, because this is something that God, so to speak, planned in the creation. As mentioned in Tanya, that even the Beinoni, even a person who has perfected himself in the sphere of action and no longer has any deeds or words or thoughts which are external, which are against the will of God, nevertheless, since he has not killed or converted his evil inclination, he can still have strange thoughts, alien thoughts, unrelated to the task at hand, come into his mind without his volition, automatically coming to his mind, since he still has this trace of physicality, of coarseness within him. Therefore, if a person sees only once, this is not necessarily a sign that he is impure. However, should he see twice or three times, this is a sign that the impurity has reached a tremendously strong stage, that, so to speak, he has gone beyond his own Yetzer Hara, beyond his evil inclination's natural will. As has been explained in Chassidus, on what we say in the Al-Chet, on Yom Kippur, Al-Chet shechatanu lefanecha beYetzer Hara, that we ask God for atonement for the sin that we have sinned before him using our Yetzer Hara. Where Chassidus asks the question, why should we single out a special Al-Chet for sins caused by the Yetzer Hara? Every sin, every transgression comes because the Yetzer Hara has mixed its opinion in and misled the person off the proper path of behavior. Why should we single out a different Al-Chet that we have sinned before God with the Yetzer Hara? However, the explanation is that the Yetzer Hara, in and of itself, only has certain desires, only can hope to accomplish certain things. However, a person, through so much deep involvement, with great desire and great emotional involvement, should become so involved in the physical world and so involved in his own desires that he can even sin, so to speak, against his Yetzer Hara. Even his Yetzer Hara wouldn't dream of doing such a thing. Even his Yetzer Hara, in and of itself, wouldn't desire such a terrible thing. However, the person goes beyond his Yetzer Hara. He sins against his Yetzer Hara and involves himself even more than would naturally be indicated in the coarse physical world. This excess is expressed in the body also in terms of excess. There, as the Rambam explains, that the vacant spots in the body, which normally should be empty, fill up with fluid, eventually expressing itself in the form of a zav. This is, of course, one of the primary points of Teiras HaChassidus, that we are required not only to perform the minimum requirements of Jewish law, but that we should go lifni mishuras adin, beyond the limits of the law, mekadish atzmecha b'mutalach. Even with kosher food, we must eat it in a kosher fashion. We must eat it l'shem shamayim, in order to better serve God, not for mere fulfillment of our physical wishes and desires. Thank you for tuning into the daily portion of Sefer HaMitzvahs. For more information or to sponsor one of the installments, contact Sichas in English at area code 718-778-5436. That's 718-778-5436. And please join us again tomorrow.